And this afternoon, I'm kind of doing it unplugged. So I don't have any PowerPoint slides. And I actually also haven't prepared anything. Now, that's not because I was being like a naughty schoolgirl, let's say. But I'm often told by colleagues, you know, when we discuss our work, that I over-prepare absolutely everything. And it's probably true. I can still spend hours on just one consultation. I did one this week. It took me 2 days. Yeah. But you know what? I love it. And every minute of time spent in that, that potent sacred focus that is what's really required if we are to be in dialogue with astrology. So I've spent more hours than I can possibly add up doing what for me is the grassroots work of astrology. Now, I'm aware that this is not necessarily everybody's grassroots, because one of the fascinating things about astrology is that, about the field of astrology, is that there are many, many different kinds of people doing it, and they're doing many, many different kinds of astrology in the sense of how the skill is oriented. And that ranges from very pragmatic through to very theoretical, and a whole range of nuances in between. So there's an enormous variety of different ways that astrology can be applied. But I have the feeling that in the end, whatever that means, in the end, a kind of first principle of, for want of a better way of putting it, esoteric law, is that the true knowledge of what astrology is speaking to us is given on a need basis only. Meaning, no matter how good you get at quote-unquote interpretation skills, no matter how many thousands of words you would write on a case study about a celebrity horoscope or something to do with history, it's a completely different animal than what actually happens when you are in the live process of a consultation. That is really something absolutely unique. And it's true that it's not everybody's path within astrology. It's a very particular calling, and it has very particular demands. Now, apologies to those of you who've heard me say this before, but you know, the difference between a vocation and a calling, a vocation and calling and a profession, as I understand it, is the following. If you train for a profession, you have, I think, a reasonable, rational expectation stroke hope that your profession will help you pay the rent and keep gas in the car and all of that. However, if you have a vocation, you support it, not the other way around. And basically, unless you are willing to do that, it won't speak for you. And so I can see some heads nodding around the room here, because I know that there are many people here and in the wider astrology tribe that have really given so much to astrology. And, you know, they might not have done that in the full glare of publicity or
being well known, but there are loads and loads of astrologers actually all over the world doing the crucial work, do you know, of not only hopefully supporting themselves in the sense of managing, but supporting astrology in the sense of being custodians of what I totally, sincerely believe is a living wisdom tradition, pretty much like no other. Now, I'm not claiming any kind of primacy. That would be a, you know, ridiculous piece of arrogance. But it is a living wisdom tradition. And you know what? All the kind of disparagement and, you know, Richard Dawkinsing, if that's a verb, and Brian Coxing, if that's a verb, all of that, you know what? I love it. Because, well, two things. I made a pledge. I can't remember when. Now, if I'd really been a proper astrologer, I would have looked at my watch ceremoniously as I made the pledge, right? But I don't remember that. But I do remember once I became aware of how contentious astrology actually was, and I'll say a little bit more about how come I didn't know that, right? I just didn't know until I was way already working professionally. I had no idea. Okay, that's another story. But when I discovered how contentious astrology was and how much pressure there was on us to, like, prove stuff, get credibility, I swore, and it was a solemn vow, I swore I would never be put in a position by anybody where I felt obliged or required to prove anything to anyone ever. And I've stuck to that. And that's the reason that with a couple of very minor exceptions, I have never done any media work, because basically, if you want to get tricked and twisted into, let's say, supporting the views of the other side, that's the route to go down. But if you don't want your sacred art to be dragged through the mud, then you can afford to just kind of say thanks but no thanks. So I don't believe in seeking credibility. I don't believe that astrology should be mainstream. I tell you why, because as I see it, the whole mainstream is falling apart. I mean, it's going down the plug hole as we speak. But we aren't, because we represent an ancient sacred wisdom tradition. It's not our job to be so embroiled with the world that we then end up cutting our cloth. Have I got that phrase right? Cutting our coat according to their cloth. That must never be, ever, ever. And on that subject, I just want to share a little anecdote about the what do you do question, right? So I'm sure all of you have been asked, what do you do? Mm-hmm. And then comes the decision, what do you say in response to what do you do? And I used to just lie. I mean, depending on what the situation was, it was much easier. You know, I have Mercury retrograde in the 8th house, so I thought, it's easier to just lie. I'll tell them I'm a research assistant or something, it'll do. But then I kind of, you know, as things went along, well, once the internet came, I couldn't really lie anymore, because if anybody Googled me, they might come across, you know, my website and things like that. And, okay, I just want to do a little scenario for you. So this is Boxing Day, and it's Stockbroker Surrey. Those of you who are not English might not get the reference there, so let me cue you in, because I'm also not from here. Surrey is a highly well-heeled, wealthy county in England. And because it's within commuter distance of central London, it's reputed to be where loads of stockbrokers and bankers live. And it's kind of classy wealth. It's not, there's two kinds of wealth, brassy and classy. Surrey is classy. So, you know, it's not ostentatious with gold-plated gates on the front that open, you know, with the Merc and all that. You wouldn't even know because it's all hidden. But it's classy. Anyway, So I had some friends who were not classy wealth, they were brassy wealth. And they weren't even from this country, so they didn't even notice. So I'm staying with them for Christmas. So Boxing Day, the neighbours invite us over for drinks. And I thought, oh boy, I see what was going to happen. So I got, you know, dressed up. I tried to kind of make myself look like I wouldn't, you know, stand out too much. And we go in, and it's like the perfect little Christmas scene, the perfect Christmas tree, the perfect dog, the perfect kids, everything's perfect. I'm standing around with my sherry, and this really nice couple, you know, come up and get chatting. And so the man asked the question, and what do you do? And I thought, I knew it. However, it must have been the really high class sherry. I stood there with this glass of sherry in my hand, and I said, I'm an astrologer. And the man, you could see, he went, sort of reeled in surprise. And without missing a beat, I sort of leaned towards him. I said, you've no idea how much I dread people asking me that question. I mean, you never know what they're going to think. And that completely, like, stopped everything in its tracks. The man took the first opportunity to get out of the conversation and scram off elsewhere, and the woman sort of melted away after him, but later came and sought me out. And the result of that was that I had a really interesting conversation for a good couple of hours with this person. We were sitting there cloistered away in the corner, having such an interesting time. And I just thought, well, you know, there was this whole intense little kind of circus going on, all focused around astrology and what it evokes in people and the deeper questions that are implied there, and all sorts of other very interesting things, because it does give a context in which people open up. So, of course, that's what happened, you know, after the what do you do and my little, you know, quip and the guy going away, the woman then really opened up a lot about her life and what was troubling her and so on and so forth. And this is all astrology, you know. So there's something about being able to say, people often do ask about how astrologers are trained. And that's actually a surprisingly complicated question to answer. And that's what I say. I said, well, actually, you know, how many hours have you got? I'll tell you. Kind of thing. Because even a course as wonderful as the faculty course will not train you to be an astrologer. Guess what? That comes from inside you. Inside us, inside all of us. And that's one of the things I so appreciate about the faculty's approach, is because that's understood, made clear, and worked with in a practical way, even in terms of how the thing is structured. That's quite unique, because nowadays with the internet and with all the thousands of astrology books that have come out in the last 20 years or so, you know, there's a million places you can get that information. And some of it's really high-class information, too. I'm not knocking it. But you will never learn to be an astrologer with only that. Now, let me tell you a little bit about how I did in the beginning. I did everything backwards, I think. Must be this Mercury retrograde of mine. I did everything backwards in that I only started studying with the faculty when I was already working professionally. Now, don't ask me how I did this. I do not know. But I did go from zero to professional without ever having attended a class or had a teacher. When I was 10 years old, I was off school because I'd fallen and broken my arm and I was in a big body cast thing, so any opportunity to get off school, right? So I would stagger down to the local library This is now Bulawayo in guerrilla war type situation, colonial Africa, in Rhodesia it became Zimbabwe. Okay. So it's a very agrarian type culture, economy. Witness the fact that in the National Library of Rhodesia, as it was, there was one shelf about yay wide called Philosophy, Psychology and Religion. That was the collection. So I started working my way through the whole lot. Read some Freud, read some Jung, Bhagavad Gita, First Principles of Theosophy, you know, anything that was on that shelf, I read. And then one day, and I still remember it, and sadly I don't have a date for it, I do have the year, I found this little astrology book, and I still remember because I had my arm in plaster, and I remember propping this book up against my broken arm and turning the pages with this hand. And my first reaction was absolute indignation, because I knew somehow there was more to astrology than what was in this little book. Now, one of my great regrets from the Mercury retrograde in Gemini, in the eighth house point of view, is I don't know what the book was. But anyway, I was very annoyed because I knew there was more to it, and I knew this was like presenting it in a very superficial kind of personality way. So I responded by borrowing the book, taking it home, learning the signs and the symbols, and I spent then years and years and years just asking people, because, you know, hey, I was only 10, asking people what their signs were, and kind of looking and looking and thinking and, you know, like that. So there was no milieu of anything like this here. I mean, this meaning us, you know. There was no milieu like that, no world of esoteric studies, no major libraries, no courses, no nothing. At that time, in that place. But I'd found this little book and I'd memorized the signs, so already that was like a party, you know. The next step waited until I was in South Africa at university, where if you got in quickly enough, it was more liberal and more intellectually rich. I say if you got in quick enough because the census was still incredibly active during that time. It was the heyday of apartheid, and any kind of shaggy looking students, because this was hippie times, this was now we're in the 1960s, it really was actually dangerous to look like I looked back then. And so what would happen was books would be imported and then they would get censored and disappear. But fortunately, a few of us we befriended the book buyer in the local bookshop, the university bookshop, and she used to tell us when stuff came in that we thought might be of interest to this sort of motley crew of bohemian poets, artists, people. And none of them were deeply interested in astrology, but certainly none of them thought it was weird. It was all like, well, of course, kind of thing. Anyway, so then if we got in quick enough and bought the books quick enough, we would escape the censorship. And if not, well, they'd just vanish. And Dane Rudyard's books came in, imagine it. This friend gave me a copy of The Pulse of Life for one of my births. It was my 20th birthday, actually. And I remember opening it up, as you would, at your own sun sign, and having this absolute epiphany. Truly, it was like I was rooted to the floor. Because in that moment, it was like I felt seen in the way that someone was mentioning that today. I've heard so many interesting thoughts and ideas. I can't remember who said what. But that's significant too, because it's like we're in this pool of astrology together and we each have our own things to say, but it's also one stream. And it was in that moment that I knew that I really wanted to dedicate time to studying it. You know, I was, because I'd already been in, that was my 10th year of being really immersed in it, but I had no background, no knowledge, no intellectual anything. So from then I knew that I really would follow this. And that was partly the reason why I relocated from Africa to London, all England. And I lived in a community for a number of years, and that was an amazing laboratory in which to study astrology. Now, gradually I got enough confidence to start doing the calculating. So all I did was draw up people's charts and watch what happened with the transits, because any of you who have lived in a community will know that it's like being peeled, all your skin is off, and you're there in the raw with all of your true emotional and deeper belief patterns and everything. They all show. So it was a phenomenal opportunity to learn astrology. And, you know, after about 5 years of intensive study of actually people and their charts. I did hundreds of charts for free before I began to charge. It was after all that that I began to feel that I needed to consolidate my more sort of mental type of learning, because I did go in totally. I think there are Louise Verger Lynn and what she said about the felt sense. I learned entirely from the felt sense, and I don't know if I would have managed to do it any other way. Maybe I would, I don't know, because that's what I did. But then I began to feel, yeah, I need to round out my studies in a different way. And I can't even remember how I found out about the faculty, but I did. And I did the certificate by correspondence. I thought it was a most marvelous project. Having your own tutor, because I'd never had a tutor, was fantastic. By then, I was already working professionally. I was doing readings, and I even was doing workshops. And interesting, again, thinking back to Louise's input, and also the theme of the experiential work has been around a lot. So I was doing big experiential workshops then, because that seemed to me the logical way of entering the material, because that was how I learned, so to speak. Anyway, along came my Saturn return, first one, and I felt very strongly that I needed to go further and do the faculty diploma, which I did. And it was very challenging, you know, it was tough, and I was fortunate in that when I relocated in the middle of doing that, Uranus went over my ascendant, and I moved into London. And I was fortunate enough to meet Barbara Sherrington, another diploma holder, just randomly at a workshop. And we discovered not only that we were both Geminis, we tend to move around in twos even if we don't know it, you know. But that she, like me, was doing the diploma, and she, like me, had kind of sort of scraped on the ground, as it were, about halfway through. So we decided that we would kind of help each other, and we designed a sort of study thing where I would learn something that I thought I didn't know anything about or I didn't want to know about. There are those bits for me anyway. And she would do the same. And then we would get together and teach each other the bits that we'd been swatting away to learn. And so we'd have these amazing Saturdays, which was study all day long, and a long Indian meal for lunch in the middle, setting the world to rights and talking and so on and so forth. And Barbara and I are still friends all these years later. We still talk astrology, etc. So to me, that's a little vignette that flags up how the most unique kinds of friendships get formed around astrology. Certainly within the faculty itself, but by no means exclusively. And now here's something interesting. Since the internet, a strong thing of a lingua franca in a way. Now we could question the level of authenticity there, and I think it's right that we do so, frankly. But that doesn't alter the fact that people are familiar with some of the language. They do understand some stuff about it. And therefore, it's, as you know, it is a hermetic art, as Diane pointed out so beautifully this morning. Astrology is a hermetic art. And, you know, Hermes was the god of travelers and the god of the threshold. So he opens and closes doors. And astrology is a door opener between people. And I remember very vividly one time when I'd gone to Iona, the island of Iona. I'd actually gone on a pilgrimage to try and mend a broken heart at the time. And when I got there, there was the next day there was a tremendous storm. So I mean, it's one of those where you know you can't even hardly walk down the street. You're 45 degrees vertical and standing still. But as soon after a couple of days, as soon as the first boats went out, I went out and the sea was incredibly rough, and everybody was in the back being sick and holding on to each other. But there were two people up in front at the prow. It was me and this young woman who seemed, I would have thought, maybe a few years younger than me. And, you know, you can picture a small little boat, little sort of tugboat type of thing, you know. We were going to visit another island. And it was plunging up and down in the sea. And the spray was coming. And here was the what do you do question again. The time roared over the waves. So it was, what do you do? I'm an astrologer. Then the response was, oh, cool. Well, listen to this. I've got transiting Pluto opposite my sun, and that's why I'm here, because of this and that and the other. And blah, blah, blah. So we were then like total friends, complete stranger, and spent the whole of the next day walking around the island together. And had an incredible intimacy with this. And a real feeling of soul contact and being able to be there for each other and listen and hear and be a kind of guardian to that person's story. And, you know, it was absolutely amazing. So in summing up, I just want to briefly mention that it was at my second Saturn return, literally 10 days before the exact one, that Claire, apropos of just rushing across the quad in summer school, said, oh, by the way, and invited me to become a patron of the faculty. Which, to say that blew my mind, was, that's an understatement. I feel deeply honored and very grateful to be involved in that way, because for me, astrology really is a living stream of wisdom. And I also think that, you know, every single one of us who puts energy in and who commits is a custodian in the way, and it's in the invisible way. It doesn't matter who believes or not, who has any profile. It doesn't matter whether astrology ever gets any respect from mainstream, from academia. None of it matters. What matters is that the internal connection with the wisdom stream remains intact. And hey, with people like you and lots of our colleagues and friends, that's an indication of how deep is that continuity. Thank you.